All right, let's get started this morning. We're going to get our main passage out, Matthew 14, 29 through 30. Sam DeAngelis, if you'll get that. Matthew 14, 29 through 30. Let's get Matthew 14, verse 30 a second time. If I could get Brian Mitchell, get that there. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, David Sanchez, if you'll get that. And then Hebrews 11 and verse 3, IL, if you'll get that for us. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Okay, Pastor Greg has said that faith is not about quality or quantity. Faith is about focus. And what we choose to focus on is going to set a course for faith. And in the passage we're going to look at this morning, Peter, his focus on Jesus released the miraculous. But when he began to focus on the natural, that is when he began to sink. And I want to look this morning at a sermon titled Focused Faith. And let's read our main passage, Matthew 14, 29 through 30.
"Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted.
Okay, let's look at this. Focused faith. Let's lay look firstly at faith foundation. Let me ask you a question. What would be the foundation of faith? David?
Who God is.
It's okay, who God is. That who God is, we know, and that's a result.
Word of God.
The Word of God. Yeah, so Pastor Greg has often taught us that the foundation of faith is the Word of God, and because of the Word of God, we know who God is, and it gives us faith. So Scripture, that is where it begins. Scripture directs us to know what to believe for. Scripture directs us to know who God is. Scripture directs us for our faith. It forms our expectations, right? How will you know what God wants for your life if you don't know what he says? How do you know God's will for your life? How will you know God's purposes? You can't know that unless you know what he says. So think about Peter's faith foundation. In our passage, he is walking on the water, but that was Jesus' command, right? "Lord, if it's you, command me to walk or come onto the water." And Jesus said, "Come." It's at his word he then takes action. Based on what God said, based on what God's voice, that is the actions he took. So this is true for us. We need a foundation of the Word of God so that we personally, every individual here, so that we know what to believe God for, so that we know how to contend, so that we know what to expect. On and on and on, it starts with a Word of God foundation. Is God a Savior? I'm asking a question. Is he a Savior?
Yes.
How do you know?
The Word of God.
Okay, yeah, but now, the Word of God, where does it say that?
In the New Testament.
Yes. Okay, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Yeah? He came to seek and save the lost.
He came to seek and save the lost. Right? Those. How do I know that God is a Savior? I need to know his word. Is God a healer? How do you know? Is God a provider? How do you know? Right? On and on and on. You have to turn to the Word of God. That is what forms your faith foundation. So, one author put it this way. How many promises of God do you know for your need? In other words, is God a one promise God? Is he a five promise God? Is he a 100 promise God? That depends on your revelation of him through his word. That is contingent on you and what you have done to build that faith foundation. So the faith foundation, yes, it's up to you to build. I personally have scripture lists for my faith foundation. And I've shared that at different times. You know, I keep lists and I turn to, if I'm praying for fruitfulness, if I'm praying for and prepping for a healing crusade, right? Different ways. I have my own list, and I've had people ask me, can you send me your list? Sure, I could do that. But really, you should build your own. Right? That's the convenience of it, is I could send you that, and you can say, yeah, that's what Pastor Jesse has. That's what Pastor Greg has said that before when I was a disciple. He has lists of scriptures for specific things. We could send our own, but think about this. My lists have come out of my own experience. My lists have come out of my own wrestlings with God, wrestlings with faith, wrestlings with seasons of barrenness, wrestlings with a personal breakthrough or revelation, fill in the blank. My lists, they were fought for. My lists, they were wept over. Times where I personally was laying a hold of God for a breakthrough, for a miracle, for a need. Fill in the blank. Every believer needs to have a foundation of the Word of God, a foundation for their faith, and every believer can, right? Because we have the Word of God, but it's up to you to open that and find the promises. So let's think secondly about natural focus. The issue is sometimes we can become natural focused. And this is common. We can, you know, strive, or, you know, I'm going to believe God, I'm going to contend, I'm going to begin to compile scriptures for my own faith. But then you start focusing on the natural, focusing on what is in the physical. And this is common, and hell wants to make us feel guilty about that or condemn us, right? You really don't believe God. You're such a terrible Christian. You don't really trust God. Wants to make that a guilt and condemnation issue. But other times, you know, most of the time, this isn't on purpose. We're people. We tend to see life through a natural lens. Why? We operate and function in the natural. Everything we do is in the natural, right? It's not something that we're seeing all the time from a spiritual lens. We process life from a natural place. We know very tangibly and very real sometimes our senses, emotions, and feelings. And so we can become naturally focused. This is what happened to Peter. Let's read Matthew 14 and verse 30.
14 verse what?
30.
Let both grow together until harvest, and at that time of harvest, I will say,
It's a good one, but not the one.
But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me.
Okay, so here he is. He's focused on Jesus, and the miraculous is happening. Like, that was just, you know, an amazing moment. But when he saw, what shifted? His focus shifted from Jesus and his word. Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water with you. Come, let's go do this, right? But here in the shift of his focus, now he sees the boisterous winds. That word boisterous means strong and mighty. It's powerful and intense. These intense winds, when he's focused off of Jesus and on everything else, that is when he became afraid. Right? We're going to face storms in life. Right? Metaphorically, these storms that are boisterous, they're strong storms. They're strong for us. They're powerful storms. They're intense storms. They scream and shout. They demand our attention. They pull on our natural self. Right? They pull on this natural lens. This could be storms with our children, storms of health, storms of finances, storms of temptation, storms in our marriage, storms of fruitfulness, storms for dominion. So what we focus on in those times, it affects us. Peter became afraid because now eyes off Jesus and on everything else going on, he became afraid and started to sink. And that's where we feel those same feelings of fear. And in fear, we can start making poor decisions. In fear, we can start making quick decisions. We can start making bad decisions or carnal decisions, life-changing decisions. And that's when people begin to sink. That's when they begin to sink maybe in salvation. That's when they begin to sink maybe in their convictions or in their obediences or things they've already surrendered. Now they're going back to, or they begin to sink in professionalism or charisma or all these other things we're putting in the natural. I'm going to tell you something. Boisterous storms are going to be part of the Christian experience. They're part of the Christian experience. But in the storm, what is your focus? The disciples, they were caught, the Bible records, they were caught in two separate storms. One storm, Jesus is on the boat with them. And they're still terrified and looking at the natural. Later, Jesus is coming to the boat they are stuck in the storm in. Both times they're focused on the natural. Both times they're focused on the storm at hand. Lord, don't you care? In the first storm. Right? Here they're toiling alone in fear when they see Jesus. Right? He calls them out or calls out Peter, and then Peter begins to sink. It's all a natural focus, but the problem with it is it distracts us from who God is. It distracts us from what God can do. Natural focus and fear, it robs our faith. It robs our trust in God. And that's what causes us to begin to sink. It's that natural focus. But let's close. Let's look at focused faith. It's in the boisterous storms and seasons we need to focus our faith on God. That's now where you pull from the foundation. That faith foundation we talked about in point one. Let's read Hebrews 11 and verse 1.
Now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen.
Okay, when do we need faith? According to this scripture, we need it when we're lacking whatever that miracle, whatever that breakthrough, whatever that expectation is. We need faith when what we're contending for is unseen, when it's what we're hoping for. That is when you draw from the Word of God. Right? Because faith is based on His Word, not on our experiences. And this is the great mistake so many people make. They know what God says, but my experience says, so God must be wrong. No, that you got to flip that. I know what God says, and just because of my experience, then that's unacceptable. Then I'm not settling for less than God's word, God's plan, God's purposes, God's will. This is what I'm going through, but God has said. But God has spoken. This is what I am facing. But God says about this. This is what the results show, but God has spoken. See, God's word, it is not limited or defined by circumstances. His word is defined by his power. His word is defined by who he is. So, now let's think, what does focused faith look like? Because it's not about quantity or necessarily even the quality. It's focus. This is what I'm focusing on in that in whatever boisterous storm you're facing. Number one, what does focused faith look like? It's believing. What I mean by that is taking God at his word. God, this is what you say. This is what you have said. This is what you have promised, and I believe that. Faith is a choice. I believe that. This is what you've promised, and I'm choosing to trust that. There have been times where I have been praying for fill in the blank, whatever it is, wrestling through things, and I've just prayed, God, I choose to believe you. God, I choose to just take you at your word and trust you. I'm making that choice. That's believing. Secondly, it's prayer. Laying a hold of his word in your prayer life. Pastor Greg just preached on breaking down walls and that whole idea of prayer. Prayer is powerful. And people who pray, they believe in it. They believe in its power. Why? They have a foundation in the Word of God. And so when you are praying in focused faith, you are claiming God's Word. You are contending for His Word. God, I'm not settling for anything less. You are speaking His Word. Times I've prayed, God, you said. God, you called me to this. You have chosen this for my life. You have appointed. So you lay hold of it. You speak it out. Hebrews 11 in verse 3.
By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed of God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen.
Okay, so think about this. What Paul is saying. Right, by faith we believe, God, you created everything. You created the universe and everything in it by your word. God spoke things into creation so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. In other words, words are invisible, but words create. You can't see, you know, the spelling of every word that has come out of my mouth this morning, but you're hearing it and it can stir something. It can cultivate something, hopefully faith. It can stir up faith in you. It can motivate. It can encourage or strengthen. We know the Bible says in Proverbs that life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can't see those words, but in the context of prayer, when you see the evidence of miracles that came out of things that were invisible, words, prayer, and you can create by praying. Finally, then, it's an expectation. Pastor Greg has said, in life, you will have what you can live with. You know, there are some Christians, they can live with less. They live with less. They tolerate less. They accept less. Right? But focused faith produces an expectation. I know what I want to see. I know what I need to see. And it's based on God's word. I know what I should be seeing, and this isn't it. And so you are contending in that expectation, we will see. There have been times I've prayed in advance, healing crusades. God, I thank you in advance for the miracles you're going to do. That's an expectation. God, I thank you in advance for the converts you're going to bring in, the key conversions. We will see it. We will have those breakthroughs. That is expectation. I close with this story in Santa Fe, and I've shared it before at different times. But in Santa Fe, we probably in the first 6 months, maybe even 3 months, as early as then, we came to the end of the month where, you know, rent's due, and Santa Fe is very expensive. The rent was terribly high. And so we get to our Sunday, and rent's due Friday. Sunday morning comes and goes, and it's just not going to cut it. We can pay certain bills, but the rent for the church is just not going to cut it. And so I'm looking ahead. Wednesday's coming, you know, but it's just looking at Sunday and the rest of the giving, I'm like, it's just not going to happen, right? Natural lens. So I called Pastor Greg Monday, and I said, Pastor, we've, you know, explained the situation, and we're going to be, I don't know, it's 2,000, somewhere in that, a little over 2,000, that we're going to be short on the rent. And so I'm kind of expecting, like, yeah, no problem, you know, let Sharon know exactly how much, and we can wire that over. This is my brain, right? The anticipated conversation. So I'm talking to him and sharing that, and, you know, we're going to be 2 grand, whatever, short. And he goes, okay, yeah. Well, you need to get a hold of God on that. I'm like, okay. Dang. I thought I was kind of getting a hold of God on it. You were my answer to my prayers, you know. So, yeah, you're going to have to get a hold of God on it. So I got off the phone and I told my wife, we're going to contend. We're going to pray. God, 2 grand is nothing for you. We had seen personal miracles in our personal finances, you know, supernatural money miracles. And so it's like, God, you can do this. This is nothing for you. You can unlock supernatural miracle resources and began to claim and contend who God is, what God can do. And it's based on the word of God. You are a provider. You own the cattle on 1,000. You can move money anywhere you want. This is not impossible for you, right? It felt impossible to a degree then, but in contending Wednesday night, number one, the just offerings as a whole came in greater. And then secondly, there used to be a dentist that used to be part of the church years ago. He hadn't been to the church in like stab in the dark, 7+ years. And so he comes in and drops, if I remember right, 6 tithe checks that he had been holding on to. He said God dealt with it. He told one of the older saints that knew him really well, just in conversation, he came out because God told him to go to Santa Fe Christian Fellowship Church and give his tithe there. And 6, you know, checks from a dentist, it was above and beyond. It was more than enough. And from that time forward in our ministry, my wife and I, we never struggled financially. But I had to get a hold of God. That was focused faith based on his word. And I am grateful that my pastor helped me learn that lesson. It changed so many things moving forward. It's a reference point. Here I am sharing it with you. That would have been like 13 years ago. And the testimony still speaks. It's a reference point. That's focused faith. Okay, let's open it up for some questions. Yep.
So when you're praying for something that maybe doesn't happen right away, and maybe you don't expect it to happen right away, and let's say your prayers, your words that you're praying are, you hear yourself and you can hear the faith in your words, you know, you're referencing the Word of God. How do you know that you're actually focused on Jesus in that moment and like not just kind of going through the motions and spinning your wheels for years?
Yeah, anyway. But the foundation of faith is?
Jesus, the Word of God.
Yes, so with that, that's how you know you're not spinning your wheels, because you're bringing the Word of God into it, mm-hmm. right? And that's how you're focusing on Jesus, right? On truth.
Yeah.
And so you're laying a hold of his promises. Yeah. That's why it's very important you apply the Word of God.
So I can be sure that if I'm bringing the Word of God out through my mouth, that I'm doing my job there.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And going back to Pastor Greg's sermon on Wednesday, right? They didn't see for those 7 days any evidence that anything was happening, right? There was no signs of anything changing until the miracle came, right? The ending story, right? Yeah. If you would have asked Karen about Paul, you know, hey, is he close? No, he's as far away as you could imagine, but God was doing things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So, yep, and then Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you hear my prayers. I don't say this for me, but I say this for everyone present that they may know. So Jesus is reminding God hears our prayers. He's attentive to them. Yep, good. Yep, Tony.
What's the difference in, let's just say, asking for faith than claiming faith?
Asking for it versus claiming it. Well, I suppose, number one, claiming the Word of God, it's a settled conviction. You're making a choice about it versus asking the father that brings his son. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. What does he say? Lord, but help my unbelief. So that's a valid prayer, right? That didn't disqualify him from a miracle. So you can pray that. I'm struggling to believe, God, help my unbelief. Give me a gift of faith, faith for something that I don't have it yet, right? So that's asking for it, but then having it or claiming it, it's settled. Why is it settled? Because I trust your word, right? There are things that I've prayed and I've laid hold and I've said, but God, this is what you want to do. I'm not begging you to heal people. You're a healer. It's what you want to do. I'm not begging you to save people. You're a savior. It's what you want to do. That's settled though, right? That's not like, Lord, do you still save? I'm not asking for faith for that. I know it's who he is and what he does, right? So you can ask God to help areas of unbelief, but then other times it's settled and it's rooted in his word still. Yep. Good. Good, good. Other questions? Yep.
Why do some people want less in their salvation? What is it that causes some people to not settle and others to say, I want everything that God potentially has for my life?
Yeah, one of the things that help us to not settle is the Word of God, right? And I think that was the valuable lesson. I was content at the moment in the last testimony I shared. I was content to settle. This is just where their finances are right now, right? But Pastor Greg was encouraging my faith. Why settle? Get a hold of God on it, right? See God move. That's going to be greater. That was a push to not settle, right? So then that forced me to God's word. You know what? Absolutely no. Your word says, Malachi 3, if I obey you in tithes and offerings, we've honored that in the time we've been here. You can open the windows of heaven, right? And on and on and on, various scriptures about financial provision. Then those, though, that what is it that allows them or causes them to live with less? Number one would be a lack of the Word of God, right? They don't know what God says about it. So Kathy Cook, I love the quote, I didn't know what I didn't know about God. So there's just some things we don't know about him. Secondly, is could be a form of laziness. It could be a form of passivity. It could be, in that passivity, the lack of a spiritual aggression, right? It could be pride. Some people, it hinders them. They're too prideful to ask God for help. Now, I'll figure it out on my own, right? So numbers of different things that would contribute to someone living with less. And I think if you do settle for less, you got to find out why. Identify why. Yeah. What is it in me? And many times, too, then finally, is security. You actually don't trust God. Live with less because I don't really trust him that he will help me or will answer my prayer. Yeah, Dave.
So, I mean, we've talked recently about how sometimes you don't feel like you have the most faith for a situation, but God will do a miracle anyway.
Yep.
So how do you know that you're applying your faith correctly?
Well, again, sometimes God is just gracious, right? You know, because he loves us. So, again, it's not so much about a quality or quantity, but the focus, simply because I'm choosing to focus on Jesus, right? The woman with the issue of blood made Jesus the focus. If I can just get close enough, and her faith unlocked power, but then again, like the father with the child, we prayed already, nothing happened. Maybe he got worse, you know, manifested worse, and this is desperate. It's been years. God, I'm struggling to believe, but then God is gracious, right? So you know, Lazarus had no faith, dead in the grave, and yet God called him out. So it's one of those things, like, David, the point of the lesson, you know, how do I know I'm applying it correctly? The end of the day, when it's built on God's word, that's correct application, because I'm choosing to trust that. That's my security. That's my confidence. It's in who God is and not ourselves, right? Not on something we can do, not on something we can cultivate or accomplish. God, I'm relying on you. Yep. And that's going to look a lot of different ways. Faith is not a formula, which is why it confused the disciples. If you have faith as big as a grain of mustard, it's like, but that's tiny. Exactly. The point is focus. Who are you focused on? Who are you trusting in? Yeah. Good. Yeah, Lynn.
Pastor, can you talk about how your faith personally is focused in your life, but your what you're trying to aim at is getting your men to be focused in theirs. So what are you praying for specifically, whether that's influence, anointing, just so that your spirit affects those around you?
Okay, just so I understand the question, how am I praying for that?
How are you praying? You say you have that. That's settled in you.
Yes.
But you need your men to get it is what you want.
Yeah, which is what, you know, of this type of lesson, I'm talking about it. Right, I'm setting the potential for your life. I have this settled, but I had to settle it for myself. And so, in talking about it, and preaching about it, and pointing to, you know, the faith foundation, turning to the Word of God, and pointing to what does this look like, believing God, I choose to trust. Praying, speaking it out, rehearsing it, contending for it, and expectation. This is what I'm expecting to see. I'm forming that in people. And so then, you know, I can point it out. If there's people that come to me for prayer, for a need, let's say financial or a job, I agree in prayer with them. And sometimes I'll say, why don't you look up a couple verses for yourself and about your need. You need provision, you need a new job, you need increase. You look up some scriptures that you can claim. So I'm coaching people in that way. I've written down things for people. I have a lady in Santa Fe. She got saved when we first got there, Chana Gallegos. and just some needs that she had in her life. I wrote down some scriptures for her just as I was speaking. And I said, you claim these. You look them up. You rehearse them. When we went for the 40-year anniversary last year, it would have been 12 years later, Chana came up to me and said, look, I still have the paper you gave me. It's in her Bible. She said, I still claim and contend these things. If she's seen family get saved, she's seen answer to prayers, etc. But it goes back. I coached her on that, right? Have a couple that Jake Snyder just shared with me. They're currently pioneering. They were announced this last July conference or January conference. And but when I gave them a word, they came up afterward and were talking to me, and I wrote down some things for them. And Pastor Jake Snyder told me, you know, now they're pioneering. That was a moment, like a God moment with them. And in writing those things down, they said they still have your paper on their fridge. They keep it as a reminder. And just coaching that. And now look at, they're fruitful, they're pioneering, they're a blessing. Man, that's encouraging. So things like that, it happens so many different ways. But what I know is at the end of the day, I want to be effective in that way. I want to impart that. Because I know what I've seen God do. And I know it's possible for you. I know it's possible for every person here. Man, I pray for people. I pray for my kids. God, let them meet the God I've met.
Yeah.
Let them know the God I know. Pray that for new converts. Pray that for disciples. Pray that for men on the field. Pray that for fill in the blank. Everybody, you know, that I engaged with. So, yeah, various ways. But I trust God with it. Yeah. Yep.
Pastor, can you speak then on the focus on the importance of, and you kind of referenced it about that testimony from Pastor Jake Snyder, that couple, they wrote those things down, or you wrote them down, they looked at them, that became a focus, how important it is when you receive a word from God through a pastor or an evangelist, how important that is to focus on that, look into God's word, and see how that lines up with God's word, and keeping a claim on that. Because I feel some people get a word from a pastor or an evangelist, and there's, oh, we'll see what God does.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of waiting for it to...
Sure.
Someday and everything to just change.
Yeah, no, for sure. And sometimes in those types of settings or seasons, you know, as a pastor, I have encouraged people. Powerful word. Thank God for that. Right? Things that were very personal that pastor, preacher, evangelist could have never known. And I just... encourage, man, God hears you. God knows where you're at. And I simply encourage them in it. You know, man, lay hold of God on that one. That was special. God was talking to you, you know, because I know more of the situation with them, right? So that can come from pastoral headship. You know, them coming up afterward and just asking some questions. I just wrote down, if I remember, I just some scriptures that they could pray and claim for their lives. That was all. It wasn't like I wrote down the word that I gave. It was just another part of that. But anyway, at the end of the day, clearly Pastor Snyder encouraged them and has encouraged them with that, which has kept a shelf life in their lives. Yeah. And sometimes too, you know, is... When it resonates, that's the beauty of revelation. When it resonates in someone, you don't have to convince them. They make it their own, right? So, yeah, different ways that looks. Yeah, cool.
You were sharing your testimony about in Santa Fe when that miracle of money happened. And I was just curious because for me, I feel like a lot of times I'll trust in myself and not what God says he can do. And so... a situation where it come up, like, well, I just need to work harder, or I need to try to sort of make it happen. How do I get out of that mindset? How do I put my trust in God?
Yeah. No, definitely. And how do you put your trust in him is, again, you bring in his word, right? That's the key piece to all of this. You've got to bring in his word. So, you know, I know God wants to give me favor. Right? When I worked a secular job, I would pray, God, I am your child, and you want me to have favor in life. How do I know that? Because your word says, right? And in whatever capacity that looks. I wanted to be a better leader, so I started looking up scriptures on leadership. One of the first scriptures that changed my leadership was, the Bible says, and David behaved himself wisely. He wasn't king yet. He had been anointed. He's being persecuted. He's dealing with all kinds of different things. And David behaved himself wisely. And that set a course for his future. And as a young man leading a band and as a young man looking at leadership and learning it, I said, I need to do that. And I began to change things in my character. Was it all resolved? No, but that has been a key in the early stages, right? As a worker, you know, God wants us to work honestly. God wants, it's a reflection, do all things unto God, not as unto men. So that changed my work ethic. If I'm working for God, I'm going to work different, aren't I? Right? So all of these things, Cole, it's all in there. And it's finding the application. And that takes some work, right? It takes some digging. It takes some analyzing and asking questions. But you can begin to implement God's word in every arena of life. Everything that I have seen successful has been deposited into me by my pastor and his faith. I captured that, but it's also been things that I have done to lay hold of it for myself. And so, yeah, for you, when you recognize areas and you have an awareness of that mentality, then you can ask the question, whoa, why am I thinking that way? I need God's help. There's nothing wrong with relying on him. And of course, there's personal responsibility, right? The angel told Peter, they're going to break him out of prison. Put on your shoes. Like, I'm not doing that for you. You know, just different things that require action on our part. And that's it's kind of both in hand, but based on his word. Good. Very good. All right. Well, appreciate your time. Appreciate your questions.